I have to be honest. Animation is one of those things that I grew out of.
Okay.
I watch Family Guy on and off and American Dad and all that sort of stuff, and it's like, I'm just kind of over animated stuff. Like South Park I even grew out of.
Yeah.
Like, and I love South Park as a kid, but I never watched like The Simpsons, and I only watched bits and pieces of Futurama. But I tried with BoJack Horseman. Did you watch BoJack Horseman?
No.
No. I tried with that, and I was like, I don't think Netflix can do it with animated stuff. But I was proven wrong with that.
Oh, yeah?
That was the two episodes that you showed me were just from the first season, right? So episode five and six
of season one, yeah.
Which
is the final two episodes of season one.
Of the season one.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, really funny. But the humanity that lives inside this show it's incredibly profound. Like, there's a moment which you pointed out in episode 5 where, and I fucking completely forgot their names, the dad and the mum,
Frank and Sue,
are having a very real argument, like, real. Like, it reminded me of when your parents argue at home, and it's not like a arguing over dinner. It's like a full blown argument to the point, and
it's like years of resentment, truth.
Yeah, and the setting of the show indicates to me that I wouldn't be surprised if at this stage, because we don't see much humanity until that point. That what's his name again?
Frank.
Oh, God, it's been so long. I honestly thought that Frank was going to raise a hand. I actually thought he might have done it. Because at that point, he hadn't really done anything redeeming. And I was like, this dude's just a fucking asshole. And Bill Burr, who voices him, does an incredible job.
Mm.
Bill Burr, I've listened to him on podcasts and stuff before, and he's quite funny, but I find him a little bit too full on.
Yeah.
But he's excellent as Frank. And there's this moment where they just let it all out. And their son, who has been suspended for the day and trying to avoid getting caught being suspended, has to listen to it. And being confronted with that brought up some stuff for me as a kid, because I could relate to that. But then the show shows you how quickly it can turn that table, where it goes from almost violent to they both realize what they're doing and they sit down. And it's there's a quiet little moment before it turns into something fucking hilarious. It was really funny. But they sit down and they apologize. And then they start fucking.
Yep.
And the kid's name,
Bill.
Bill.
Named for Bill Burr.
Yeah, from Bill Burr. He's sitting under the bed, and he has to hear his parents fight. But then he has to hear his parents fuck.
Yeah, and just to clarify, they have no idea that he's there.
No,
he's hiding
in
the room, hiding from them, and then it all just unfolds, and he can't get away.
And he has this moment where he crawls out of the bed and just sees his rocking balls, and he goes, "I'm going back in."
Yeah,
and I thought that sums up the show very well.
That scene is the reason I chose that episode.
It's a great scene because I don't think I've seen. Even in BoJack, I know BoJack tackles some pretty nasty stuff, but I don't think in the years of animation that I've seen, and you know, Simpsons not included because I haven't seen it, I don't think I've seen something as visceral as that particular scene. And it's not the show's colorful. It's basic. It doesn't do anything. It just keeps it keeps their family life very mundane and very. In that moment, and I honestly have forgotten quite a bit of the episode because that scene is still sitting with me.
Because it's so traumatic.
It's such a terrific scene,
and I like that with this show. You're right; their lives are very mundane and mundane to the point of oppressive. Like they're oppressed by the class that they live in, but it's also very real. Like with a lot of adult animation, you'll either have it, as you say, very base, so swearing for the sake of swearing. And there's a lot of swearing in this, but it's just like swearing because they're funny words.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's not really funny. Whereas this, I feel, or the alternative to one-dimensional, I guess almost toilet humor.
Yeah.
is zany, you know, like really like out there and just extreme. And I feel like although this show can be quite extreme, it's all grounded in reality.
Exactly.
It's satirizing something real, but showing you how extremely pushed people are in mundane situations.
Yeah. And how that mundane situation can really bring out the worst in you, because there's that feeling as a human being of what is your purpose?
Yeah.
And I think some people just, like in Frank's thing, it's so obvious and it's spelled out in, like you said, in that fucking credit sequence at the start, which is Jesus Christ. It is so well done, but also incredibly confronting because it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. And it's interesting that I think, you know, you talked about him raising a hand. Like, he never hits Sue ever.
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, he doesn't raise it in this scene. He doesn't raise his hand or do anything like that. They both...
But you know, you think it might reach that point.
Yeah, it feels like that. Yeah.
And in the whole show, like, there's been three seasons so far, he never does that. Mm. And but he is quite emotionally abusive towards her.
Yes.
Like, and psychologically abusive. Not in a way that he would understand to be abuse, but in a way that we understand in a contemporary sense to be abuse.
Yeah.
Because he has expectations of her that are a product of his time, and... I would never condone the actions or behavior of an abuser, but his perspective is very sympathetic. Like, you can't understand why he, in terms of that whole fragile masculinity thing, why he is so crushed by the life that he lives and how resentful he is of that and how much he is genuinely trying so hard to do the right thing all the time. And the whole aspect of him not hitting his wife, he would genuinely believe that because he doesn't hit his wife, that makes him a good husband.
Yeah.
Like in season three, him and his wife are exposed to a marriage on their street that actually is what they would both consider to be abusive.
Yeah, sure.
Physically abusive and psychologically abusive. And he is appalled. Like he is disgusted. And it's just
Frank
really,
is?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Him and Sue both.
Yeah.
And it's just really interesting that they don't consider the dynamic of their own marriage as abusive. They consider it quite normalized.
Yeah.
And she really does, you know, she loves him and he really does love her too. But the times that they live in are do not allow for a more complex understanding of gender roles. And that's what the show is exposing, that you're like nostalgic great America of yesteryear is a pile of fucking horseshit.
Yeah.
Like absolute crap. Mm. He is very oppressed by his class and by having become a young father. And she is very oppressed by the gender norm expectations on her as a woman. And they do, as you say, manage to find profound moments of humanity from within that.
They really do.
But it's never cheesy. You know, it's never like, oh, but, you know, in spite of our shit, like we can all like come together and love and like put our thumbs up to the screen at the end. It's just not that.
No, that was the other thing is that its profound moments are grounded. I think that's a word that we will probably say a fair bit for this episode, because there are those moments, and even in the season finale where Frank goes through those bits and pieces with the radio guy, voiced by Sam Rockwell, and you know, he never understands what he says, but he has that moment where he's like, you know, I've just lost my job. I don't know how the fuck I'm going to tell my family that. But then he's reminded of just the great pleasures in life. But it's not one of those things where it's like, oh, just remember, be thankful you have a wife and kids. Yeah. It's like, you know what? Like, I live alone and I get to see you with your family and you are happy with your family. Like, that's an observational thing that carries over that isn't cheesy. It's a genuine observation from that character.
Because he's so jealous of Vic. Vic is good looking. He's muscly. He's having sex with different people every day. He works in a radio station and doesn't really work hard. He drives a sports car and he's coked out of his brain every day.
Yep.
And Frank sees that life and is just like, wow, you are so undeserving. And yet, you know, Vic, as you say, says to him like, oh, Christmas is family time. I've got no one around me right now. And it's not like, oh, I've got no one. At least you've got your family. It's just like, oh, yeah, no, everyone's gone home. Like,
yeah, he's not asking for like anything. He's just like, yeah, I'm a 364-day-a-year man, you know, which I thought was a really good line. Like, it's a really good line.
And the perception that he has of Bill's family, Frank's family, compared to the perception Frank has of his own, like, needs and trauma, it is poignant. One of the other things I do like about the show, which you would never get from one or two episodes that are just contextless, but you know how at the end, when Frank just lost his shit at his boss and like put his big fat boss's keys on the floor so his boss couldn't bend down and reach them.
Yeah.
And he stuffed the pen in the door.
Yeah.
And that was like the idea that he still had the pen was a throwback to what had caused all the problems with the union contract.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing happens throughout this whole show. All the way through, like it's made to be binged because every 3 to 4 episodes, there are throwbacks to other things that have happened in terms of ongoing narratives and like little touches of things, or there are things that are throwaway lines that are like that thing that him and Sue were arguing about, Kevin drowning as a 2-year-old.
Mm.
That's not revisited until season 3, and then it becomes really big towards the end of season 3.
Right,
and,
okay.
And it's like a whole big flashback and Kevin starts to remember.
Yeah.
But up to that point, all through season 2, through the first half of season 3, that was just part of their argument in this one-off episode one time.
Yeah.
And so you really need to be like a keen long-term viewer to pick up on all the little touches that are contributing to the cohesive narrative as a whole. And when you can do that, when you can look at the whole broadly, it's very cleverly written. It's very smart.
Yeah.
And like you, I'm kind of... I will let you talk because this is your reflection.
Wow.
And I've seen the show. But I'm kind of over animation too. I watch The Simpsons religiously because I watched it as a kid and it's just habit. But yeah, Family Guy... I've never seen BoJack Horseman. Family Guy can give or take. South Park, I don't watch anymore. American Dad, I'll watch if it's on. But I'm not really Disenchantment was fine. I'm not an animation person. I don't seek it out. I think a lot of adult comedies are adult cartoon comedies are very crass for the sake of crass.
Yeah, I was going to say it's very much designed for like, ooh, look at us tell an animation joke, like a sex joke. Then it's just like,
for sure.
But like, what's the purpose?
Yeah, and this is crass, but it's meaningful because it is exposing, as I said, nostalgic bullshit of yesteryear and telling you the 70s was rubbish. It was really emotionally destructive for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that's not to say, you know, like, oh, well, we live in a great time compared to then, like, everything's perfect now. But it's just, I think, shining a light on people's misconceptions about the rose-tinted version of the past that everyone seems to have.
Yeah.
Especially in terms of, like, Americana.
Mm.
Like, their idealistic 2.4 family from the 50s to the 70s is absolute shit. Gender norms are not like a positive, you know, affirmation, and in political correctness has gone mad now.
Yeah.
Like it crushed people.
Yeah, I think the main thing that I got out of it is that it's a show that isn't afraid to make you uncomfortable, to show you the realities of something. So it's not like we're gonna do like this thing where, you know, you're gonna like watch animated people have sex or do like sex acts or some shit, but it makes you feel uncomfortable with some of the dialogue choices and some of the stylistic choices, obviously seeing like Frank's balls in the air, but also having Bill see them argue,
and just the single tear that just rolls down the cheek. It just, it's so hard. You're like, am I supposed to laugh or cry? Like, this is awful.
But my feeling was, I was just like, holy shit. But I could also got a sense that I was like, something's coming that will break this.
Yeah.
Because the show is not designed to be like, we're going to have this massive moment and then let it sit. It sits just the perfect sort of length and then goes, now you're going to watch the parents have sex. And then you're like, oh, that is so, that's one funny, but also probably exactly what happened back then as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought it was amazing as well that you and I went from being silently appalled to laughing in hysterics within a matter of seconds. I thought that was really smart. It actually reminded me of a scene in season 3 where, so Frank has made best friends with this guy on the street who's abusing his wife, but he doesn't know.
All
and
right,
the guy
yeah,
sure. is like his new bestie, and then his wife, like Frank's wife, sees
them.
Frank's best friend abuses his wife,
yep.
and she goes back and tells Frank, and he doesn't believe her and thinks that, you know, oh, you're just exaggerating or you've misunderstood or whatever. And eventually he finds out for himself it's true, and then he tries to persuade the street that this is a bad guy, and everyone just thinks he's hysterical because the guy's doing a really good job of faking being a good guy.
Mm.
But the scene where, up to that point, all the stuff about him making friends with this guy and you know, how in his pocket he is, and the idea that, you know, the street just collectively don't believe him, all of it's pretty funny. And then you see the reality of the abuse.
Yeah.
And it's like that moment when they're arguing. It's just silently shocking.
Yeah.
And then I think that is what is really profound about this show, is that like it can make you laugh and make you reflect in equal measure. It's not dropping rape jokes and domestic violence for lols.
It's doing it. This is the thing. It serves a purpose. I just on the subject of animation, I did egregiously leave out Big Mouth. I will admit Big Mouth does a very good job in terms of animation of describing the perils of being a teenager and understanding, like,
I never saw that.
It's very good. It's okay. Very well done. But that's
Netflix,
that's
original, right?
Yeah.
Same as F is for Family.
Yeah. So, this reminded me of Big Mouth in terms of probably not so much the realities of being a teenager and how do you handle your sexual evolution as a teenager.
Mm.
But it has, F is for Family has those sort of related moments, even if it's not, even if your parents as a kid never fought, you probably have heard them had sex, or you might even have walked in, like, God forbid, you've walked in on them having sex, or you're going through that thing where you're being bullied at school and you want to go to a concert. I don't know. There's a lot of relatable things in here. And I know that's an easy thing to say, where it's like, oh, I liked it because it's so relatable. But I think it just grounds all that stuff in the reality of what it was back then, because it's informed by Bill Burr's experiences as a kid. But also, I think it's grounded with some stuff that still exists now. It's still natural for people, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, to argue and have really heated arguments to the point where it's like, you guys need to separate from the room for a while because this is getting too much. But that scene, I know that I keep going back to it, but it's such a powerful scene because it's incredibly acted by Bill Burr and Laura Dern.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think I've ever heard any animated series, movie, anything in that. I do not think I've ever had any sort of tension watching an animated anything. That, to me, is one of the best acted, voiced animated scenes I've ever seen.
Yeah, both of them are amazing because he's so aggressive and she's so resigned.
Yeah.
But sometimes she just loses her shit and they pitch the dynamic so perfectly with every line.
Yeah.
And I love that it's told from Bill's perspective too, because you're right, it is relatable. Even though you and I aren't, you know, we weren't raised in the 70s. We were raised a long time ago in the 90s when things were different. You know, you can remember relatable experiences. And because obviously, even though Bill Burr created the show and voices Frank, Frank is based on his dad, Bill is based on him. Yeah. So much of the show is told through the lens of Bill's perspective.
Yeah.
Oh, and that poor traumatized child.
Yeah. yeah.
It's just awful. And it does, like, I'm not saying I had a traumatic childhood, but it reminds you of a lot of things. It's particularly, as you say, like the bullying thing. And if you're a boy who is perceived as weak in some way on the playground, like what that feels like, and it's and the collective mentality against you, and it really hits home for sure.
And it's interesting just that it's so informed by those sort of experiences, because I think because Bill Burr is from Boston, grew up in Boston, and just from my own cursory sort of research of like that Boston era and that sort of hard done by, I guess, community that Boston sort of they're very much like, they run with the whole we're hardworking families, you know, labor intensive, all that sort of stuff, which is interesting because it sort of relates to like the union side of things and that sort of shit. But like, for me, I can see that and I can be like, that actually makes me better understand what it was like back then.
Yeah,
the fact that it's his dad, but also it's based on him as well.
Yep.
But also the show's just fucking funny.
And that's the other thing. It is hilarious. Yeah. I don't stop laughing.
Yeah. Honestly, there's really quick jokes, you know, like when Frank and Sue are kissing and their fucking eldest son is just like, get a room, and he's like, get an apartment, and then it just smash cuts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is a fucking beautiful joke because it's so true and it's so fucking funny.
And it's his 15-year-old kid and he literally turns to him and says, fuck you, get an apartment. Get an apartment. And it's like, who would say that to their child then? Like,
yeah, exactly. And like, then there's this random diaper kid that keeps running around that showed up. I don't know what that is, but it just shows up at the end of episode 5, explains the plot of the show that Frank wanted to see, and then shows up again and then hides in a fucking
hobo washing machine.
Like, what the fuck? I don't know. This is a great show. It really is. Those two episodes, that scene is still sitting with me, and I don't think it's been a while whether it's the scenes that I've shown you and the scenes that you've shown me, I don't think there's been a scene that has sat with me as much as that one has.
I couldn't remember the context of the episode at all, other than that scene. And I knew that was the scene I wanted you to see. So I had to like reverse generate Google and like, you know, scene in If It's Her Family where the kid's under the bed. So yeah. I could find out which episode it was I could then show you that. Because I didn't really care about what happened in the rest of the episode.
Mm.
I wanted you to see that. And then I knew what happened at the end of episode 6 when Frank gets fired. So I thought I'll just smash the two of them together since they, you know, since they are consecutive episodes.
Yeah.
But if you loved it as much as that, which really makes me so happy because I really love it. I wish I wrote it. I think it's really brilliant.
Very
TV.
Sharp. Very sharp.
And you're right. You know, we're talking so much about it being like a profound, considered, cleverly written, moving satire on like social conventions. But also, you're right. It's a very, very funny show and a very funny animation. And so season one was 6 episodes. They were just given it a try, I think. Season 2 was 10 and season 3 was 10. And they all come out about 18 months apart. So season 1 came out in December 2015. Season 2 came out in May of 2017.
Mm.
And then season 3 came out November of last year, 2018. Yeah, sure. Right. So season 4 has been commissioned.
Yeah.
And season 3 ends on a cliffhanger, so you knew it had been commissioned. Like the entire arcs of the whole season in 3 are resolved.
Mm.
And then, you know, there's just like a scene right at the end that like makes it a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And so I don't think we can expect to see it until mid 2020 again.
Yeah.
But I just think everything about it, the writing, the voice acting performances, the bizarrely the originality of the premise, considering how much of a glut of adult animation we have now, I think it's a fantastic piece of TV, and I'm so glad I discovered it.
It's good. I think the one other thing I wanted to mention, which I think feeds into just the heart of the show, is there's a line in towards the end of the episode 6 where he's like, "How did you do it, Frank?" And he's like, "I just spoke from the heart." And I was like, it feels like when you have those poignant moments from Frank and from Bill, but mainly Frank because it's obviously, you know, sort of centered around him, those poignant moments actually genuinely feel like Bill Burr's, like, he's writing these scripts and he's going, you know what, I'm going to like put aside what we've got planned right now and I'm just going to write like a little monologue, and then writes a monologue that actually is just truly from him.
And I think I should mention as well on that note, he created the show and he writes a lot of it and voices Frank. But Vince Vaughn is an executive producer and writes a lot of it too.
Oh, wow. No way.
Yeah. Him and Vince Vaughn write a lot of it together.
Holy crap. Wow. That's
and Vince Vaughn basically bankrolled it.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It is a collaborative effort. Mm-hmm. It's not just like the Bill Burr show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was going to say knowing that he's involved, that was the only thing I could think of. I was like, oh yeah, Bill Burr's like behind everything.
But oh yeah, that's what I thought as well. And then I found out that about Vince Vaughn, and I was like, oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah. But this is great. I will definitely watch this.
Well, there's only 26 episodes, and you've got, you know, a year and a half until it comes out again. So
yeah,
or at least a year. So yeah, as I said, it's worth binging.
Yeah,
like when it because the. The first season ends around Christmas because Netflix dropped it literally a week before Christmas.
Yeah.
And I bought Dan a PS4 that year for Christmas, and so we like just hooked it all up with Netflix and whatever. And it just came up as like recommended because it had just dropped.
Yeah.
And so I watched it over that Christmas period, and there were only 6 episodes, and it was easy to binge in a day. And then I, as I say, waited for a year and a half for it to come out again. And it's worth, if you can, trying to watch them as close together as possible because it really does tell each season tells a single story told across a number of episodes.
Yeah, sure.
And there are individual resolves inside the episodes, but it's very old school and it's like overarching narrative. Mm. It's not episodic, like an episodic film split into 10 like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But it's not a traditional, you know, episodic sitcom either.
Yeah,
it's like
sure.
It definitely is a whole complete story across the course of a season. So I would say 100%, yeah.
Okay.
Watch as much of it together as you can.
Yeah, like in terms of season. So if I start watching season 2, just watch season 2 as close as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Try and knock our season out in 2 to 3 days, I'd say.
Mm. Yeah.
So you don't forget small extraneous little detail things that becomes really important.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is on Netflix. I'm absolutely going to watch it. Don't know when, but I will be because I really want to.
Yeah, I want to get back into doing the recap episodes with you.
Yeah.
Like we did with Man in the High Castle. So yeah. if you watch that and I watch, you know, Jack Ryan or something, we should.
Yeah. Because it'll be something.
Record on that.
Yeah. That's something I want to do just because those moments are really interesting, but also just it's really, really funny.
It's a good show, yeah. for sure.
Half an hour episodes. Like I'm all in on that. I don't think animation should go any longer than that.
Oh, agreed. Yeah. Disenchantment should have gone like 10 minutes shorter than that.
Yeah, I actually completely forgot that that was a thing when you meant until you mentioned it. And I was like, oh, yeah, the other Matt Groening show that people didn't really care about. but yeah, excellent. Thank you very much for showing me that one, John. As always, you can get us on iTunes and Spotify. You can search us What the Hell Is This Show. If you have any suggestions for shows in the future, please let us know. We're running out of things. We said this last week, but we're running out of things to watch. So any suggestions of things that we may not have watched, we are absolutely welcomed. And we're also doing Feast for Thrones, which you'll see pop up in the feed as well. So keep an eye on that because we're reviewing Game of Thrones as the season goes.
Well, yeah, I mean, by the time this episode is released, Game of Thrones will probably be nearly finished.
Yeah, pretty much, actually.
Yeah, we might be 4 or 5 episodes in.
Yeah, we'll be up to 4 or 5 episodes in. So, yeah, you're getting this one a bit late, but we decided that we wanted to do a palooza of recording. So we've spent 10 hours recording and watching television and podcasts today. So, yeah, this is the last one.
And you're welcome for it.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, we fucking worked hard for this shit.
Yeah.
Watching TV and and recording stuff. But yeah, obviously, yeah, let us know on our socials and any suggestions you might have. And yeah, keep an eye out for the Game of Thrones podcast and any more episodes coming in the future. John, we can rest easy now.
Absolutely, yeah. I need to go to bed.
Yeah, so do I.
All right. Forever.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.